The San Jose County Board of Supervisors meeting, April 19, 2011. The time is now 6:30. We'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and while we're standing, we're also going to have a moment of silence for San Jose County Alliance WorkNet employee Don Dressler, who passed away. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
thank you. To start today's meeting, we're going to start with three presentations, and I'm going to start, first of all, with Janie Hartman, the 2011 State Middle School Educator of the Year, named by the California League of Middle Schools. So, Janie, if you come forward. Janie, thank you for coming down tonight. I thought it was very important that we acknowledge something great that has happened. And right here in San Jose County, Jeannie Hartman was named the State Middle School Educator of the Year. Sourced out of Empire Union School District. And we have a proclamation that I want to read a couple things from. Whereas Jeannie Hartman, a resource specialist at Empire Elementary in the Empire Union School District, was named 2011 State Middle School Educator of the Year by the California League of Middle Schools. Mrs. Hartman's responsibility is to ensure that students ranging from kindergarten to eighth grade fully comprehend material in which they have struggled. She has been a resource specialist with Empire Union School District for 24 years, and she's tailored her method of teaching to each individual student to his or her challenges and needs. She was inspired by her own teachers who believed in her and wanted to do the same for her own students. She's a member of the Houston Family Resource Center Board, married with two children, and nominated for the Educator of the Year by a colleague. And by unanimous vote by the Board of Supervisors, we want to congratulate you on that honor. Would you like to say a few words?
Teaching is absolutely fabulous, and I do appreciate this award very, very much. It was a lot of work to go for the competition, but it was a lot of fun. And of course, when I won, it was even more fun. So, anyway, but thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Next presentation is April 2011 Child Abuse Prevention Month and Child Abuse Prevention Council Art Contest winners.
Wait for the PowerPoint to come up. At the Community Services Agency and oversee the Adult Child and Family Services Division, and also have the privilege of co-chairing the Child Abuse Prevention Council.
Hi, my name is Karen Service. I'm a member of the Child Abuse Prevention Council as a community representative. I've been on the council for 6 years, and I serve as that representative, and I'm also a grant writing and fund development consultant here in San Jose County.
So nationwide, during fiscal year 2007-2008, there were an estimated 1,740 child fatality victims.
Of these fatalities, 80% of the children were younger than 4 years old. From July 1, 2001 to June 30, 2010, there were 9,217 children that were reported to the Child Abuse Hotline in Stanislaus County. The types of reports called into the hotline include general neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, severe neglect, and child exploitation. The mission of the Child Abuse Prevention Council is to actively develop, support, and coordinate community efforts and awareness to prevent child abuse and its effects. The council was established in 2002, and the membership is appointed by the Board of Supervisors.
Well, in November of 2007, the council initiated the Shaken Baby Syndrome Prevention Program here in Stanislaus County after becoming aware of 6 Shaken Baby Syndrome cases and 1 case of head trauma due to violent impact of the brain within a period of 18 months. So it was a pretty significant statistic that we felt we needed to really address. 3 of those children were fatalities, unfortunately, and 3 were left with significant neurological impairments. Shaken baby syndrome, if you don't know, is a term that's used to describe the signs and symptoms resulting from violent shaking or shaking and impacting of the head of an infant or a small child. In 2007, we did receive a grant from the Stanislaus County Children's and Families Commission, which enabled us to initiate a community-wide prevention and awareness program here in the county. The major component is a specific training provided to new parents in the hospital setting through the nurses that are in each of the units at each of the local hospitals. Since the initiation of the program, 18,927 parents have been educated in the hospital setting in this county. All 5 of our local hospitals participate in this education. Okay, in addition, and that's one of our buses that you've probably seen around town, with the Never Shake a Baby. Shaken baby prevention education is occurring through the Family Resource Centers, the Healthy Earth Outcomes Program through Health Services Agency, and the Stanislaus County Office of Education. Now, we know this prevention program is working. In the 3.5 years since the program was implemented in Stanislaus County, there have only been 4 diagnosed cases of shaken baby syndrome, and none of these cases have resulted in a fatality.
The Child Abuse Prevention Council is responsible for the administration of the Children's Trust Fund. Revenue for this fund is collected from birth certificate fees, as well as the kids' plate fees. Those are the handprints that you see on the back of license plates. This year, the council developed a 5-year plan to help fund prevention programs to prevent and intervene in child abuse and neglect situations. This includes differential response, where Family Resource Centers and Hutton House work with Child Protective Services to prevent abuse and neglect. Additional funding was dedicated to clean and sober living facilities, safe places for women and their children to live while the women are in treatment for substance abuse. April is Child Abuse Awareness Month, and we are here this evening to share some of the activities that are occurring in our community, as well as present the winners of the 8th annual Through the Eyes of the Child Art Contest. The Children's Memorial Flag is a national public awareness campaign to draw attention to the tragedy of child abuse. The Children's Memorial Flag is simple, a red flag depicting blue paper doll-like figurines of children holding hands, and in the center a white chalk outline of a missing child symbolizing children lost to violence. In Stanislaus County, many county departments and community-based organizations are flying the flag this week. last month, our friend and colleague Kim Wood Hyatt passed away after a long battle with cancer. Kim was the clinical director at Sierra Vista Child and Family Services and had been with the agency for 34 years. And for the last few years, she's been here with me presenting the awards as co-chair of the Child Abuse Prevention Council. Kim was very passionate about serving the most vulnerable children in our community, and she was a strong supporter of the art contest, and we felt it was fitting to honor her tonight.
Now, Through the Eyes of a Child Art Contest is a child abuse prevention and awareness campaign that we conduct as the Child Abuse Prevention Council. Children and youth from grades kindergarten through 12th grade are encouraged to submit art that depicts their interpretation of child abuse. The art is powerful and compelling and sometimes very surprising to us, and we learn a lot, I think, from it. And now what we would like to do, since a lot of the winners are here, we would like to present the winning art. We would like to ask that the winners, as you're announced, as you hear your name and see your picture up there, that you come up in the area in front of the board members, and we ask that you hold your applause until after the first place winner is announced. So what I'd like to do is show you and have the kids come up from the winning art from kindergarten through third grade. So the first honorable mention is Alexis from Bonita Elementary. Alexis, if you're here, come on up. Hey, doesn't look like she's... Oh, hey, all the way in the back. Come on up, Alexis. Got that pretty pink shirt on. Okay. Next is Jaden from Bonita Elementary. Jaden, are you here? Come on up. Okay, and then Jacob from Sierra Vista Learning Center. Jacob, are you here? Oh, there you are. You've got third place. Okay, second place is Adriana from California Avenue School. Adriana? Oh. All right, great. And first place for this age group is Haya from Apricot Valley, or Apricot Valley, YLP. Come on up. Congratulations. That's our kindergarten to third grade. Right there. Okay, here's the winning art for 4th through 6th grade. Desiree from Seifert Elementary. Click.
You just said. Did she come?
Not here? Then Haley from Seifert Elementary. And then Maria from Fox Road Elementary, third place. Okay. Then Josiah from Las Palmas, second place.
There he is.
And I forgot to mention that Desiree and Haley were honorable mentions, so. And then Micah, first place, from Robertson Road. Oh, very good. All right. Okay, next is the winning art for the middle school entries. So honorable mention, Esmeralda from Mark Twain Junior High. Esmeralda. Oh, there she is. Great. Come on up. Kind of like the Price is Right. Come on down. Okay. Next is Orlin from Mark Twain Junior High, and he received honorable mention. Great. Congratulations. Third place is Jocelyn from Mark Twain Junior High. You have a lot of are you guys all in class together? Do you know each other? Okay, all right. That you all commiserated on your thing. You guys are representing, that's for sure. All right, second place is Rebecca from Glick Middle School. Rebecca, congratulations. And first place is Shayna from Hanshaw. There you are, congratulations. So that is middle school winners. And here's the winning art from 9th through 12th grade. Gila, honorable mention, Central Valley High School.
Then honorable mention, Marina, Central Valley High School. And for third place, Cynthia, also Central Valley High School. Second place, Norwell Elliott Education Center. Yeah, he was not able to attend. And then first place, we have Brianna from Pittman High School. So these are our high school winners, so congratulations.
Okay, and here is the grand prize winner for 2011. Our grand prize winner is Annie from Gregory High School. Annie, come on. Congratulations. Okay. Now, the artwork that you saw and will be used to create the 8th annual Through the Eyes of the Child calendar for 2012, for 2012. So all of your art will be in there, different pages. It'll be really neat. You'll be in the calendar with your names as it is up there. This calendar is used to create awareness of child abuse. It's also a prevention tool, and it describes the various community resources available to prevent and treat child abuse in Stanislaus County. So it's kind of a combination tool for us.
And this artwork will be on display at 1010 10th Street for the next week. And then it will be moved to various locations throughout Stanislaus County throughout 2011. And then the prize-winning art will then go on permanent display on a wall in the library with the previous year's grand prize art. So that is a permanent display. So we want to thank all of you who participated and all of the artists who didn't participate. They each got a certificate as well. I think we mailed out 300 certificates beyond what you guys submitted. So got a lot of artwork this year. You guys are the future of our community, and you did an incredible job, and you played an important role in preventing child abuse in our community. So we want to thank you very much for your participation. And we want to thank you, board members, for your support. And now Jeff Anderson, who is the clinical director at Sierra Vista Child and Family Services, will accept the proclamation.
I want to thank everybody who participated in this. It's some very powerful pieces of art, and it's a great job to all the winners and everybody else who participated. We do have resolution, and I'll read a little bit from this. It's tough to look at those numbers that were presented to us of how many referrals that have happened in just 1 year's time here in Stanislaus County. It's a serious problem, and we appreciate everything that everybody's doing. Board of Supervisors resolution, whereas statistics of children who are abused and neglected escalate each year, child abuse prevention is a community problem, and finding solutions depend on involvement among people throughout the community. The effects of child abuse are felt by whole communities and need to be addressed by the entire community. Effective child abuse prevention programs succeed because of partnerships created among community services agency, schools, religious organizations, law enforcement agencies, and the business community. Youth-oriented prevention programs offer positive alternatives for young people and encourage youth to develop strong ties to their communities. Thank you for all that you do, and it's a problem that we need to keep focused on and protect our kids in this community. Would you like to add a few words?
Sure. Kind of hard to follow the art, but let me just say that on behalf of the Child Abuse Prevention Council, on behalf of all those who tirelessly serve, all the committee members who are dedicated to the safety of children, and in memory of my friend and my supervisor, Kimwood Hyatt, who was passionate about children and the safety of children, I with honor accept this proclamation. And to the kids, your art was amazing. The depth of message that you conveyed in your artwork was very moving and touching. And so I want to thank you all for that too.
Okay, now we will all go out through this door for a reception, and you guys will get certificates and prizes. So we'll go there now, okay?
All right.
We're going to pause for just a few seconds while they exit out to the reception. Okay, at this point we'll move on to our third presentation of the evening, San Jose County Library Advisory Board Annual Report. Librarian Vanessa Zeltek.
Good evening, Chairman O'Brien, board members, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, staff, and members of the public. I'm Vanessa Zeltek, your county librarian. Before I start, I just want to say we are so pleased at the library to be able to have the child abuse prevention art in the building on permanent display and to keep this issue in the forefront. Well, with me this evening is Susan Lilly, the library's communication, marketing, and fund development manager. Ruth Metz, our strategic planning facilitator, who works with libraries and cities and counties throughout the world. And Sheridan Buving, who is the chair of our Library Advisory Board. We're here this evening to report to you the highlights of the library's strategic plan. As Yogi Berra once famously said, if you don't know where you're heading, you're likely to end up someplace else. Now more than ever, with funding so constrained and resources so limited, it's critical for our library to have high-quality strategic plan going into the future. And we want to ensure that we meet the needs of our communities. This plan is about how our library can sustain itself and survive, be flexible, and be strategic in the use of its resources. And many plans, of course, are never used because they're just too big or too complex, or they're too simple, and they're not useful. But as Goldilocks would say, this one is just right. Now, Sheridan Buving will present the highlights of our plan to you.
Good evening, Board of Supervisors. It is my pleasure to present this strategic plan to you for 2011 to 2015. There are 13 members that were involved in this research and findings, of which I believe we have about five or six here this evening. Would you mind standing up? Just like to recognize you, just a few of those who are very involved in this process. Thank you for coming this evening to support us as we go through this. As further acknowledgments, the Library Advisory Board wishes to acknowledge the public participation in the planning process. Over 1,300 residents completed a survey to or attended a community meeting since the public process began September 2010. Community members committed over 1,800 hours to do this process, including the enthusiastic and able and dedicated participation of individuals who served on the Strategic Planning Committee. In addition, the Stanislaus County Library Advisory Board thanks Jeff Rowe, Alliance WorkNet, and Kara Washington Stanislaus Literary Center for their participation in providing key information about their programs and partnerships with the library. The Library Advisory Board also acknowledges the library management team for its purposeful and focused development of the goals consistent with the community vision and the service directions. Likewise, the Advisory Board also wants to thank the library staff for its participation in planning the crucial process and getting these points done along the way. You have the executive summary in front of you this evening. It's only about 46 pages long, but it's a condensed version that I'm going to share with you tonight. I could take near as long as that's going to take, but we did want to get this in front of you. Now, this started in August of 2010 and was finished 8 months later in April of this month, 2011. We have some key findings that we want to put before you. The library is doing a great job with relatively limited resources. The use of the library has grown dramatically over the last 5 years, with the customer service transaction reaching nearly 3.59 million last year. This is nearly double the transactions in the previous 5 years. With even the library's unfortunate reduction of income and hours over the last 3 years, circulation, computer use, and virtual visits to the library web portal at an all-time high. In front of you, there's a graph that shows the service and transition and versus expenditures, and it shows I think we've done a lot more with less. It's a pretty graphic picture demonstrating that. Another key finding, the library is a great bargain. The library keeps raising the bar on output even as its revenues and staffing have declined. The library's per capita expenditure, about $16 in 2009-2010, is amongst the lowest in 21 jurisdictions in California serving 500,000 or more residents. Libraries in San Luis County are funded in large part by 1/8-cent sales tax and first passed by two-thirds of the voters in 1995, again in 1999, and then in 2004. The current tax is in effect until June 30th of 2013. Since its inception, the library's dedicated sales tax has brought in around $100 million to fund the 13 libraries of San Luis County. The cost is minimal to the community, about $1.66 per household per month or $20 per family per year. This tax support guarantees free access to all people of all ages and certainly all walks of life. Although the tax brings in less revenue during the economic downturn, has been a stable source of funding for the past 14 years. Without it, there would be no library services in San Luis County today. It does not provide debt capacity for expansion or renovations, however, the library for its needs in the future. Another key finding, residents need more and they want more. The committee found that our residents and communities want even more from the library. Ours is a county which individuals and families face enormous obstacles. The population of the county is younger and more diverse by comparison with California and the U.S. More than 40% of the population is Latino or Hispanic. More than 20% of the residents are foreign-born, and while over 40% speak a language other than English in their homes. The median family income is about $10,000 less than the state average, and the poverty rate in the county is 17%, and unemployment is at 18%. The county has a disproportionate share of low-paying jobs and workforce that is not prepared for skilled jobs. People want training and they want education. For more advanced jobs, but the training education opportunities are limited and too costly for an impoverished population, and the jobs are not there for the people even when they've completed their training and education. The committee believes that the library must be even more intentional in its gathering with local governments, its partnering with local governments and businesses, education, and nonprofits to help remedy these conditions. Our residents want a better quality of life through literacy, youth development, workforce education, and the training of life skills. The library plays a vital role in addressing these needs and must become even more proactive and focused to attain these outcomes. Key finding. Library income has declined and is extremely limited. Even with its dedicated funding source, the county library's general fund contribution, the library faces serious challenges just to continue the services it's been providing. The tax revenues for the library have plunged from nearly $9 million in 2005 to 2006 to $6.2 million this year. The total operating budget of the library in the current year of 2010 and 2011 is $8,387,667. This is $15.81 per capita. The library has to reduce its workforce by 19% over the last 3 years due to these revenue shortfalls. So we have some priority service directions. The committee understands that the revenue for the library is extremely limited and that the more reason to focus on services of the library for the most pressing needs of our community. This five-year plan calls for the library to be extremely intentional, and that these services directions for the next 5 years, and there's four of them that we want to focus on. Connect residents with the online world, provide safe and serviceable library facilities throughout the county, improve literacy for all ages, and help residents learn and find how to find reliable information. For the long term, this planning process has clarified how the library must focus on operating resources in the next 5 years. This must not end with the planning, however. Even while technology is changing how people access information, our residents want real libraries. People want libraries to be open, to provide the collection of reading and learning and finding information for making everyday decisions. The library is a place, but its physical development has not kept pace with the growing population. On average, the library system's facilities were almost 30 years old, and the county's population has grown 130% since the 1970s when the system last undertook major capital construction. So, and then from the 1970 population of 229,000, an estimated 530,500 people, and then 2010. This increase plus the aging facility infrastructure is placing a growing burden on our library facilities. While the library has provided good technology, especially with its limited resources, it will not be able to keep pace with the expectations of the public without addressing facility and capacity deficits. The rapidly increasing availability of bandwidth intensive web resources and the emergence of new popular technologies and in the increasing demanding of audience will require the library to make significant investments in the technology infrastructure and technology-related services in order to compete and meet the residents' needs. Library Facilities and Technology Master Plan. Admittedly, we are living in economic hard times. Nevertheless, we urge the county to take a leadership to the position of the library for the future by commissioning a Library Facilities and Technology Master Plan. As the next step in planning for the long-term future of our libraries, we urge the County Board of Supervisors to initiate a library facilities and technology master planning process that will guide the library's future in physical and virtual development. A combined master plan of facilities and technology is strongly recommended because the technology and the changing models of service delivering libraries, and this impacts the facilities and the need for space. The libraries of today and tomorrow are both physical and virtual, and the physical and virtual are interdependent. The plan's purpose is to provide a roadmap for libraries' development over the next 15 to 20 years, ensuring facilities are sized to meet each community service needs and strategically located for population growth and designed to support library services now and into the future. Technology is an integral part of the services scheme and the master plan. We want to involve the communities and with others in a partnership. It is essential that we involve the cities. They have an invested interest in the community libraries and are potential partners for leveraging resources. Schools, colleges, universities are also potential partners. For example, California has many impressive examples of joint use facilities with universities, community colleges, and schools. Building the relationship with the cities and other partners can only improve the plan. To develop a library facility technology master plan that has the political and financial support for execution, the community must be engaged and provide input into all the master planning stages, its needs, its assessments, evaluations, recommendations, and then, of course, implementing the phasing. The estimated market cost for a master plan for facilities and technology plan would be in the range of about $150,000. This report includes suggested scope of work and service specifications. The report, the request for quotation should give the county a reliable market range. Funding sources for this process could include the county's capital improvement fund, grants, gifts, co-funding with partners, or all of these. The closer the process follows the work just completed, the better. The information obtained in the planning process just concluded would provide momentum and continuity. The community needs assessment conducted already provides a strong starting point for developing detailed information about the current and future space, the technology, service needs, the countywide library facility and the technology standards and recommendation for achieving those standards. So in conclusion, while the library, has declined and due to economic downturn, the dedicated library tax and contributions from the county have resulted in a strong library system that serves our communities well. The library is an essential part of our communities and provides high value for a very low cost. It is critical that the library leadership focus on the modest resources on the recommendation for service priorities over the next 5 years. The committee urges the County Board of Supervisors to accept this strategic plan for the Stanislaus Cross County Library. In addition, it is time for all of us to get behind the development of the library facilities, starting with the library facilities and technology master plan. We respectfully urge the County Board of Supervisors to support the county librarian in the initiation of this next stage of planning for Stanislaus County Library. Thank you for allowing me to present this evening to you. If there's any questions, we'd be more than happy to answer those at this time.
Any questions from the board?
More of a comment. I like that you talked about partnerships with schools and cities and the community in general, and I think this is time well served, the 1,400 hours of the dedicated community members. I didn't hear you pitch, and I fully expected you to pitch something that's very important to the library system. So I'm going to give you a shot, and we'll talk about it. The 8 cent.
Oh, yes. Well, we left that out of the report, but the sales tax that supports the library is 85% of the budget. It's 1/8 of a cent, and it is in effect until June 30th of 2013. But we will be going back to the voters with the board's approval in June of 2012. So it's right around the corner.
Yes, and I would urge everyone, I'm a supporter of that, obviously, and I know Supervisor DeMartini has been very supportive of that, but it's integral to the library system, and I think you pointed out that we have a tremendous need in our community. We talk about it all the time here on the board, that when we speak about, our social programs, but this fits right in with everything else in Stanislaus County. There's a tremendous need, and it tends to serve the more needy in our community, so... you guys are doing great work. I love the presentation. I love when the advisory board gets so involved. You can tell there's a lot of passion from advisory board. So thank you, Sheraton.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much, and thank you to everybody who served and put together that strategic plan.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda tonight is public comment period. This is a time where anybody in the public can address this board on anything that is not on the agenda. By state law, we are not allowed to act on anything under public comment. I have one request to speak, and that's from April Primo.
Yes, gentlemen. I'm here tonight because of a letter I got about a year ago from PG&E saying, oh, we're going to put a pipeline 500 feet from your home. It was a very benign letter. There was nothing much to it. I called up and said, oh, good. Are we going to be able to tap into, it? And they said, of course not, unless, of course, you want to wait and pay $10,000 for each person. I did not realize it was such an issue. I did not realize that they had already gone to the Utility Commission and asked for this. You know, I'm with a Tea Party, and they recommend we look through the paper every day so somebody doesn't slide this in under us, and I've been looking and never even saw that thing. So now, I guess the Utility Commission has made a determination for Stanislaus County, and I have some questions. First of all, I don't think PG&E is a safe company. They've already blown up somebody in the Bay Area, a whole town. Diablo Canyon sits on two fault lines, and I understand because of the, I was here when they came and spoke about some of the lines in this county. Some of the lines in this county aren't very safe. Do we really want PG&E in my neighborhood? The next question was eminent domain. I understand if the farmers don't agree to take the money, that they go out and ask the court to give it to them eminent domain. I have a serious question about this. When we talk about eminent domain in our county, we've already decided what we wanted to do with farmland. We supported the Williamson Act. You may have taken 1 year away from them, but as a whole, we in the county have said we will pay for the Williamson Act so we can have an open ground. They're going to ask for eminent domain. Is that not a conflict of interest? How can we have open ground and have a pipeline running down the middle of our land? And I have some other questions, too. This is a commercial project, and according to Stanislaus County, Chapter 2120, General Agriculture District, this is not permitted as use for on agricultural land. The other question I have is this. You got Stanislaus County won on appeal a lawsuit that stated anything where you take production land out of production, that whoever's doing that for permits, I believe it goes that they have to give production land, put production land back in. Is this also going to be for PG&E? By the way, I was told today that there's a snake species, these drainages up here. There's just no other place in the United States. And they're going to have to do this project June and May and June so they don't interrupt the hibernation of this snake species. But I have serious questions as to how the Utility Commission can override the laws and rules of Stanislaus County. This doesn't go out of the county. This stays in the county. The other question that was raised was, if you can't grow trees on 4 feet of either side of the pipeline, and they're going to go right down the middle of some of the orchards out there. They said, you could raise grass and you could raise corn, but, I mean, there's 8 foot of it. You couldn't get a swather through there. So there's some real issues on this, and I know there's a lot of angry people out there, and I'm kind of just presenting this to the board, and I'm going off the rights commission because I don't think that they did. If they were going to hold the hearings, I believe they should have held the hearings in our county. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mr.
DiMartini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't usually make comments about public comment, but I will in this case. We have asked, next supervisor Chiesa and myself have asked PG&E to come in here to talk about their project. They've agreed to come in two different times. One of them was tonight, and then canceled both times. So the information from them has not been very forthcoming, and I know there's a lot of angry people out there. But we have talked to them, but I haven't got too much out of them. But, they apparently are going to build this line to power TID's new power plant. That's the reason for it.
May I say one more thing about that? I learned today from TID that, yes, they are going to power the power plant, but it is also going to be used for their own benefit beyond that, their own projects. So this just isn't a TID power plant. The TID power plant isn't cost efficient. What it is about, what's that law they passed where you have to have what kind of energy, clean energy or something like that. So this is TID's clean energy, but it's not only going to be used for that, it's going to be used for PG&E's other own projects.
Thank you. Supervisor Kizan?
I did have the opportunity to speak with PG&E today. I did, as I had heard from one of the landowners. And we have been strongly suggesting that they hold a community forum of some sort in the affected area. At least that's what I've been asking. We did ask them to come here. And their timeline, as they explained it to us, was that the plant has to be fired by December, from what I understand, the TID power plant. But the pipeline has to be installed now while the garter snakes and elderberry beetles and kit foxes in the summertime, because that's not their hibernation period. So they're under a tight timeline. They did hold one meeting, and I did attend it. It was a long time ago, and much like you, Mrs. Primo, that I can't even remember what I did a few weeks ago. They do send innocuous letters, and that's been the problem from the tank line on. And I would suggest that we've spent 2 years trying to get a North County corridor holding meetings once a month, plus in district, and Supervisor O'Brien will talk to you. He's gotten battle scars left and right, and that's the way we do business. And other people have different laws and regulations that govern them that we can't is very difficult for us to affect. And that's not saying anything. I still believe they're going to hold something in your district to explain why, because there has been a lack of information as far as I can see. So I'm hoping for, I doubt there will be any satisfaction, any ultimate satisfaction, but the more informed you are, at least you can live with the understanding. So.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else wish to address this board in our public comment on any item that is not on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to consent calendar. Item B3 has been pulled. Consent calendar consists of items marked by an asterisk on the agenda. They're usually routine in nature. Anybody on this dais wish to pull any additional item besides B3? Anybody in the audience wish to comment on any item on consent calendar? Seeing no one, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the consent calendar minus B3.
Motion, second, and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That item passes 4-0. Being that we're past the time of 6:35, we're going to adjourn the Board of Supervisors meeting and call to order the Redevelopment Agency. On that, we have first thing on the item is consent calendar, which is the approval of minutes of October 19, 2010. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
A motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Have a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That item passes 4-0. There is no correspondence. There is no public hearings. There's agenda item number 6A, approval to authorize an agreement for the design and construction of Santa Fe County Redevelopment Agency Project Number 1, Public Improvement Project.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the agency. Kirk Ford, I'm your executive director of the agency. With me is Angela Freitas, the deputy executive director. Before she gets started on the details, I wanted to let you know that I'm very happy to see you today meeting as the redevelopment agency. As you know, Governor Brown's budget proposal had some pretty onerous language in it about eliminating redevelopment agencies. At this point, there's been no action by the legislature to take any action related to the redevelopment agencies. Both houses are currently on spring break right now through April 24th. The House did pass a reform bill through the Senate Transportation and Housing Committee related to how the housing set-aside funds might be used, but that's not gone to the full Senate floor or to the full legislature yet. Now, the California Redevelopment Association has been working hard with the legislatures, as have all the agencies in the state, to try to come up with some alternatives. At this point, there is nothing that we know of that's going to be going on, except that, as you recall, the CRAF payments that we paid some money out to the state, about $3 million last year. By May 10th of this year, we are still required to pay about $580,000 to the state for the education relief fund. With that, all of the actions that you're looking at this evening, both actions take all of those things into account, and I'm going to turn it over to Angela to give you some details about what it is that we're talking about this evening.
Good evening, Chair O'Brien and members of the agency board. Angela Freitas sitting as redevelopment agency staff. The first of two items that we're bringing to you this evening is the request for approval to authorize an agreement for the design and construction of the San Jose County Redevelopment Agency Project Number 1 Public Improvement Projects. Project Number 1 was adopted by the San Jose County Redevelopment Agency in June of 1991. It is approximately 4,272 acres in size and is comprised of 15 sub-areas. As part of that adoption in California Redevelopment Law, Project Number 1, the deadline for incurring debt for Project Number 1 is set to expire in June of this year. In order to address the debt incurrence timeline we have coming up, there's really three options that the agency has. One is to maintain the existing debt timeline and incur no further debt. The agency can only receive tax increment necessary to pay off existing debt, so under this option, there would be no further capital projects that the agency could undertake. Another option is to maintain the existing debt time limit and enter into new debt prior to June of this year. This would allow the agency to continue to implement capital projects identified in the 2010-2014 implementation plan. The third option is to eliminate the debt incurrence timeline altogether. This provides the agency with the greatest flexibility, but increasing or eliminating the pass-through timeline increases pass-through payments, which reduce the overall funds that would be available to the agency.
In order to address these options, the agency had prepared a tax increment projection for the remaining 32 years of the project life. At a 2% assessed valuation growth, the agency can expect that it would have $43.1 million in net tax increment that could be used on capital projects or could be used to fund the agency, including capital projects. And this would be after all existing debt is paid off. If the debt incurrence timeline is eliminated, that net tax increment drops by $15.4 million to only $27.7 million. This reduction is due to the increase in pass-through payments that the agency would have to pay as a result of eliminating the debt timeline. The agency also had a debt capacity analysis done to look at the possibility of tax allocation bonds. If the debt incurrence deadline remains, the agency has about $6.3 million in bond funding capacity. If the debt incurrence deadline is eliminated, that bond fund capacity drops to $3.7 million, again due to the increase in pass-through payments that the agency would be obligated to pay. Tax allocation bonds themselves have a limited market demand at this time, and they come with a high cost. For a $6.3 million TAB offering, we could anticipate about $17.6 million in debt service we would have to pay. There's some timing constraints in being able to get a TAB offering completed by June of this year. In addition to that, the state budget proposal calling for the elimination of the redevelopment agency further limits and may very well preclude the viability of a TAB offering. So staff is here this evening recommending a $32 million pay-as-you-go agreement with the County Public Works Department. The agreement would establish debt while allowing for future refinancing, refunding, or restructuring of indebtedness. If the redevelopment agencies are eliminated in California, the agreement may be deemed invalid by the state. However, a successor agency could also validate the agreement and the debt. A pay-as-you-go agreement would limit the agency to implementation of public improvement projects identified in the agency's implementation plan. The current 2010-2014 implementation plan identifies the Airport Neighborhood Sewer Project, the Empire Storm Drain Project, and the Parkland Neighborhood Sewer Project. The estimated project costs over the remaining 32-year life of the project with 2% inflation for those three projects and their respective phases is estimated just a little bit over $31.5 million. So again, at 2% assessed valuation, the agency can anticipate the net tax increment that it would receive would be about $43.1 million. Anticipated expenditures for project costs would be $31.5 million, and then just agency operation and maintenance costs over the remaining 32 years would be about $14.2 million for total expenditures, about $48.7 million. This leaves unfunded expenditures based on the current project cost estimates that we have of $5.6 million, just a little bit over $5.6 million. This would not be an obligation to the County General Fund if this agreement goes forth. This would have to be paid for through grants or other loans that the county could secure or through benefit assessment districts that could be formed by the community so that they would contribute some, or getting some funds from partnering programs such as the Community Development Block Grant Program. The proposed agreement that we bring to you this evening does require a budget amendment to the agency's fiscal year 2010-2011 budget. That would be to increase expenditures for public improvement projects by $5.7 million using existing cash reserves. This would be an increase in the public improvement projects from a current $250,000 allocation to just a bit over $6 million. If there are any staff recommendations. Staff is recommending approval to authorize an agreement for design and construction of Stanislaus County Redevelopment Agency Project No. 1 Public Improvement Project as outlined in the April 19, 2011 Board Report Staff Recommendations 1 through 7. If there are any questions, agency staff is available.
Are there any questions of staff?
The tax increment growth. Is it put at 2%? Is that because it's very confusing to me, and you speak very fast.
the tax increment projections that the agency had done, we had 0%, 2%, and 5% projections done. Looking at the 32-year life of the project that remain out there, we have gone with the 2% assessed valuation growth, hoping that the agency does, to have an assessed valuation that would be more than 2%, but given that there have been declines in recent years, we didn't feel comfortable going higher.
The other municipalities that are doing it are using what types? I mean,
they're using a variety of different projections over the life of their agencies. I don't know any specifics that they've been using, but they've used similar companies to do this. Typically, 0 to 5% is what people have been using.
Well, isn't there a big difference between 5% and 0%?
There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
We thought we'd be pretty conservative in this by looking at a 2% growth over 32 years rather than flatlining the growth over 32 years. We didn't think that was going to happen, nor did we think we were going to get a consistent 5% growth over those same 32 years. So staying as conservative as we thought we should be, about 2% was about where we thought we should go, and that was the advice of our financial advisors as well.
I can add just a little bit to that. 2% is, in my view, a realistic number, and in fact, just slightly conservative. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One is that looking at the economic indicators, principally for residential property right now, but in most property areas, we expect some, on the commercial side and non-residential, we expect some property value declines in the 2011-12 property tax assessment rolls. We're expecting residential properties to remain relatively flat going forward. Those properties that were decreased in value over time can increase back up to the pre-recession values, which means that they can go up faster than 2% per year. But assuming, on the whole, just normal statutory growth that allows 2% per year or the cost of living index, 2% is, in fact, relatively conservative given where we are when considering a 30-year window.
Thank you. I think it's also important to note that other jurisdictions are out there selling bonds, and we're not proposing that. Bond market is horrible right now to try to sell redevelopment bonds, and this is a pay-as-you-go. We can only do what money comes in.
Yeah, even though our debt capacity analysis showed that we had $6.3 million in bonding capacity, the other interesting advice that we got from our advisors was that we probably wouldn't be able to sell bonds to maximize that amount of capacity just simply because of what the market's looking like these days.
Yeah, which is showing in the 7 to 9% range on the cost of issuance, on interest costs on issuance.
Other questions?
In the Proposition 22, I believe, that passed last year, doesn't that prevent the state from taking the money anymore?
Supposedly it does, but it does not affect the original SERAF payments that were passed a couple years ago. So that current payment that's due on May 10th, we still have to pay.
Well, I know we have to pay that, but I just don't understand how that proposition passed and then they can eliminate the entire agency.
What?
Yeah.
That's a really good question, and I think CRA, the California Redevelopment Association, is certainly working with their lawyers and their legislative analysts and each of the House members as well to figure out what to do about that. As I said, neither bodies of the state legislature have taken any action on this, and they have been meeting with various CRA representatives to look at some different alternatives and ways to handle this rather than completely eliminating the redevelopment agencies.
The legislative analyst office says that they can cancel redevelopment projects. They wouldn't just take the money, they would cancel it. And that's the way around Prop 22. However, it appears that it's off the table at this point in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Temporarily. But every time we do something to protect, you know, our local income from the state, they just come back and dream up something else and just come back at you a different way.
Can I pose another question? And this is just the exact opposite. You know, the 50 years that the board has been very conservative, I mean, we track it back and we talk about negative bailout, and the counties that spent like drunken sailors came out better than the counties who were conservative with their money and had a low tax rate. Using 2%, we leave money on the table. I mean, that's obvious. Going to 5%, there's more money available to do more projects. Give me the scenario, since we're not selling bonds, on the payback if the 2% growth doesn't occur. what is the, if we only get 1% growth and we don't have the increment?
Well, because this is a pay-as-you-go scenario, and we phased in these projects, we have different...
They're phased in. Okay.
They're phased in. So we would only do what do the projects that we have the money available to do. It's not like we're going out and getting a loan of $47 million and putting it in the bank and able to spend that money and then have to pay it back. We're doing this as a pay-as-you-go situation so that we only use the amount of money that we have available to us.
Right, that's the inflationary factor.
Yeah, so if interest rates, in fact, are better, or the rather the growth in the property tax is better, then it gives us an opportunity to do the projects earlier rather than later.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the state, you know, the people, and I know there's a city in this county that, you know, went to the end of their bond capacity. They do that all the time. So, you know, what is the penalty? But we're doing a little different. And then there's the escalator built in. We've gotten slapped so many times for doing the right thing with the state of California that it's embarrassing. That maybe we need to do the wrong thing once in a while and come get us. So, that's more than I like.
Any other questions? At this point, will anybody in the audience wish to make comments? I believe that I have 7 requests to speak on this item, and maybe Martha Guzman can tell me, is this the item that we're going to start with? Item B? Okay, we'll do item B. Okay. Anybody wish to speak on item A? I have no request for item A to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the Redevelopment Agency. Any further questions or comments?
May I just make a motion to approve all staff recommendations 1-7?
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That item passes 4-0. Now we're on to item B, approval to authorize a housing rehabilitation agreement for sewer hookup infrastructure in the San Jose County Redevelopment Agency Project Number 1, Park Lawn and Airport Neighborhoods.
Yes, this item is essentially a companion piece to the item that you just approved. It looks to allocate $4.5 million in housing funds to be directed at providing on-site sewer hookup infrastructure in conjunction with the Park Lawn and Airport Neighborhood Sewer Projects. This would be providing on-site plumbing, septic system abandonment, and City of Modesto connection fees. Redevelopment housing funds themselves may be used to increase, improve, or preserve the community's supply of low and moderate income housing. Funds may be used to cover costs of on-site and off-site improvements if improvements are part of new construction or substantial rehabilitation of affordable housing. The agency must ensure that assisted units remain affordable, and in order to do this, we do that through affordability covenants in which there would be restrictions of 45 years for owner-occupied homes and 55 years for rentals. As with the last project, in order to enter into this agreement, there is a budget amendment that is required for the agency's fiscal year 2010-2011 budget. That would be to increase expenditures for housing rehabilitation by $4.5 million using existing cash reserves. This would be an increase from $600,000 to $5.1 million with the increase specific to Park Lawn and the airport neighborhood. The remaining $600,000 would remain available for general housing rehabilitation within the entire Project Number 1 area. Staff is recommending approval to authorize the housing rehab agreement for sewer hookup infrastructure in the San Jose County Redevelopment Agency Project Number 1 Park Lawn and Airport Neighborhoods as outlined in your April 19, 2011 board report, staff recommendations 1-3. If there are any questions, agency staff is available to answer.
Are there any questions? At this point, we'll ask the audience any comments, and I have 8 requests to speak. We'll start with Rebecca Harrington.
Good evening, Board. My name is Rebecca Harrington, and I'm the chairperson for the South Modesto MAC Municipal Advisory Council. And I just want you to kind of be aware that we had our meeting on March 10th. And it was we held our regular meeting. At that time, we had one of our items which was directly related to this particular item, which is the Park Lawn community. I worked very hard to get a lot of people there. We had William Wong, City of Modesto, Wastewater Engineering, Matt Machado from the County of Stanislaus Public Works, Aaron Farnon. I also got Chris Tyler from Representative State Senator Anthony Canella's office to be there. Dave Gere, City Councilman, was also present. We also had Sally Gehring, who was present for Mr. DeMartini, who could not attend. We had a large contingent of people that were there who were there in support of this community. At that time, we wanted some transparency so that everyone could sit basically at the same table and discuss this item. This community has been in dire need for 40 years, waiting anything longer than the most immediate present would be just a disaster for them. It has come to our attention that there is funding that will be that can be provided as long as it is applied for that could pay up to 100% of the initial planning to get to the construction point and then the subsequent construction fees, and of which Martha is here and she can discuss that further at length with you. But our MAC board voted unanimously to give a letter in support of this item, and we are hoping that you will see clear to do so as well, and it sounds like we are on that road to get there, being that the previous item was approved. So I'm just coming here to say that we are in favor of it. We have been very much in support of this community and will continue to do so, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. Martha Guzman, and I apologize for mispronouncing anybody's name.
Good evening. My name is Martha Guzman. I'm from California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation in Sacramento. And the park lawn has become one of my favorite projects. So I'm very excited that these previous two items are before you. I mean, I think they just represent a tremendous amount of work from your staff. I think they're doing a very smart thing based on what's happening in Sacramento. And I think they actually give us a lot of ammunition to talk about the good pieces of redevelopment and not all the things you see in the press about, you know, like a mermaid bar that we have in Sacramento. So I do think this is fabulous two items before you. I do want to say, though, that in this interim period where we're figuring out what's going to happen with redevelopment, if this is, you know, the pay-as-you-go is going to be where we're going to be left with, or if we're going to have some continued revenue, there is an opportunity that Rebecca mentioned. And interestingly enough, from the MAC meeting before, the county staff and city staff had agreed to go to the State Water Resources Control Board to apply for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund. And the staff said, well, we have this little problem in the way we're interpreting the law, and this actually has to do more with bond financing as well, in that counties are precluded from getting loans, which means they're precluded from getting loan forgiveness grants from the SRF for planning, not for construction, but for planning. And again, this has to do with some of the financial advisors on their bonds at the state level. So we're still working on that piece for the long run. But in the interim, we did ask the State Water Board, including the chair and some of the other board members of the State Water Board, about a special fund called the Cleanup and Abatement Fund. This is a fund also administered by the State Water Resources Control Board. It is it's continuously appropriated for in the legislature, so essentially the State Water Board has full authority of where it goes, and I'm sure you will be not surprised that much of this money is not going to the Central Valley, although it has in many times. And just as an example, we were able to encourage the board to wait on a couple of projects that they were going to approve at their last hearing, including a couple million for the city of Long Beach to do a project they can certainly finance on their own. I'll just leave it at that. So this would be coming in at a much lower cost. I mean, this is essentially planning for getting to construction. This type of project is pretty, pretty quick. I mean, you probably have a neg deck for your CEQA. You pretty much, from what I've heard intermittently from different folks on the engineering side, have narrowed it down to an option. So, you know, I think the planning would be far less of what some of the other folks are asking for of this fund. I think the urgency, however, is that we would like to get to the board, State Water Resources Control Board, for their May hearing. They have an online application called the FAST application, F-A-A-S-T. It's pretty simple. It wouldn't take too much time. And we really are asking essentially for you today to take an action to direct your staff to apply to the FAST application for whatever it is that they need for the planning dollars to be able to cover their staff and engineering and whatever, CEQA stuff, whatever that is, 20, 50, I don't know, and really get that in so that, again, in this interim period where we're kind of figuring out what to do best with redevelopment, we can at least get the planning moving and be ready for construction regardless of, you know, what the funding source is in the future. So, yeah, I think that's really it. If there's any questions on the funding source, happy to answer them. But really what we're asking for you is to take another step forward. A tremendous amount of work has happened, and we think this is definitely moving in the right direction. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Francisco Imazales?
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Francisco González y pertenezco a Vecinos Unidos de Parlan. Tengo 2 años viviendo en esta comunidad y quiero únicamente también comentarles que mucha gente ha estado luchando durante muchos años. Unos se cansan de estar luchando y le dejan de hacerlo, después continúan otras personas haciendo lo mismo, y pues así hemos estado luchando durante muchos años.
Good evening, my name is Francisco González. I'm from the Parkland Neighbors United. I've been living in the Parkland for 2 years. A lot of people have been fighting this fight for many years, and some unfortunately have gotten tired of fighting and have given up. But like many times, another group arises.
Bueno, estamos solicitando desde hace muchos años el servicio de drenaje y alcantarillado. Queremos tener ese servicio como toda persona que vive en esta ciudad. Queremos tener esa igualdad también. Creo que gracias a Dios ustedes nos han escuchado y hemos encontrado en ustedes ese apoyo.
As I said, many of us have been asking for this for many years, to just have wastewater service equal to that of many of our neighbors in the city. And we're really thankful to God that you've been listening to us and have your support.
Sabemos que el presupuesto de mayor costo para esta construcción está en la decisión que ustedes van a tomar. Y sabemos también que necesitamos una beca para sacar la planificación para la limpieza del agua. Por favor, ayúdenos. Tomen una buena decisión.
We know that the majority of the budget costs for this project are covered by the items that were before you. And we also know that you need funding, grant funding for planning. So help us and please make a good decision.
Yo sé que ustedes, así como nos han escuchado, también están dispuestos a ayudarnos. Y les agradezco mucho todo lo que puedan hacer por nosotros.
Thank you for listening and for helping us, and we thank you very much.
Thank you. Ernestina Castillium.
Muy buenas tardes, señores. Mi nombre es Ernestina Castillón y quiero darles las gracias por el apoyo que nos han dado con nuestras peticiones. Ojalá y que puedan ayudarnos en lo más posible. ¿Qué más? Muchísimas gracias por tu tiempo. Es muy chiquita mi proposición.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Ernestina Castellón, and we thank you for the opportunity to come and approach you
We hope that you can make the right decision, and we hope that you can help us tonight. My statement was very brief, but very important at the same time.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Lucy Bermudez? Lucy Bermudez?
She's not feeling well. She won't be able to do it.
All right. Thank you. Walter Ramirez?
She wanted to speak. Well, that's me.
That's me. Okay. Well, my name is Walter Ramirez. I also work for California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation. We work with a lot of unincorporated communities in the Central Valley, and Parkland is one of them. And we just asked the county to move forward with the cleanup and abatement grant as it facilitates the applying for the matching construction funds needed for the RDA funds you're attempting to secure today. Further, the planning for the Parkland project needs to be completed ASAP. As you heard, you know, this community has been fighting and working on this project, looking for these services for a long time already. This will secure the RDA funds, as well as your own analysis highlighted in the missing environmental studies as potential potentially a further down the road. The grant for the cleanup and abatement will cover the studies, the environmental studies that was highlighted as an issue for this project. So we ask you that you can apply for that grant in order to benefit this community that has been affected for a long time. And as you see, there is more than 20 people from that community tonight, and there's other people who were not able to do it for transportation issues and other conflicts. But, you know, they're making an effort to come and speak to you tonight. So thank you.
Let me ask one question real quickly. The earlier speaker had indicated a planning grant with the State Water Resource Control Board. You called it a cleanup and abatement grant. Are you talking about the same grant?
This is a different grant. This is a different grant that will help to cover mainly for the environmental studies.
Okay. Well, that's so Mike.
Yeah.
It is the same grant.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's actually a really open-ended. You can use it for planning. It's like the board has total discretion about what they want to do.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rosario Sedano.
Buenas noches, mi nombre es Rosario Sedano, vengo de la Organización de Vecinos Unidos de Parkland y les venimos a pedir, por favor, que apliquen en la beca de limpieza para poder cumplir el proyecto de drenaje, que lo necesitamos muchísimo. Es una necesidad muy grande la que tenemos ya en ese lugar.
Good afternoon. My name is Rosario Sedano. I'm also from United Neighbors from Parkland. We come to ask you to please apply for this grant, for the cleanup and abatement plan grant, in order to complete this sewage project. We ask you please, because we've been affected by this issue for a long time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hortensia Franco.
My name is Hortensia Franco, and I'm a member of the United Neighbors of Parkland, and I'm also a member of the Municipal Council. And I'm here to ask you to please approve the sewage project in the Parkland area. Many children and adults and the elderly will benefit from this project, so it will be greatly appreciated from our neighborhood if you can approve this project And I thank you very much from our neighborhood.
Very good. Thank you. I don't have any other requests. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this item?
My friends were telling me that...
Restate your name, if you will.
Martha Guzman, California World Legal Assistance Foundation. I guess your question was, is there a difference between the Clean Water State Revolving Fund and the Cleanup and Abatement?
You know, I was trying to clarify, you had asked for funds for planning for the Parkland project.
Right.
The gentleman had spoken of a cleanup and abatement grant. My question was, are we asking for the same grant, or are you suggesting there are two separate grants for which we should apply?
Right. At this point, we are the most timely one is the cleanup and abatement for planning grants. And then upon completion, depending on what happens with redevelopment, we may also come back and ask for a construction grant for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund.
And if I understand this correctly, it's cleanup and abatement for planning grant. I know I can't ask for the term of art, but so we can get a generally correct context in the minutes.
Yes, cleanup and abatement fund
for
a planning grant.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'll bring it back to the Redevelopment Agency. Any questions or comments?
I think that we can direct staff to look into the grant, but we can't put it on the agenda. It's going to be an agenda item.
You actually can. This item is on the agenda for action today. The action would require that you accept the recommendations and amend the list of recommendations to include a direction to staff to direction and authorization to staff to submit a FAST, FAAST, grant application to the State Water Resources Control Board for the Park Lawn neighborhood for cleanup and abatement grant for planning purposes. I know that that's technically not 100% correct, but the underlying, the important elements are it's a FAST grant, it's to State Water Resources Control Board, and the delegation would be to the department to do that. And because you have the general subject matter on the agenda and it was properly noticed, you can add this one element without stepping on anybody's toes.
Is anyone familiar with the FAST grant?
Yes.
You do.
Okay. We actually have an application in with Self-Help Enterprises to the State Revolving Fund right now for construction of the Park Lawn area. It's just a FAST grant, but it's sitting on a... I don't think they're going to even be looking at that fund until next fall again or next December or so. And I am familiar with the State Water Board's FAST applications. I've filled them out before. Our staff's filled them out before. We have absolutely no problem whatsoever looking for as many different options as we possibly can to get as many projects done and leverage as much money as we can, especially if they're going to be a grant.
And the reason that we're not doing this for the airport district is there has not been a vote.
We can certainly look at that to apply for other projects as well when we're in there to see how they fit.
Now the action could include to Park Lawn and other potentially eligible areas, and that would provide enough coverage for the planning department to submit appropriate grants.
And it sounds like there's a sense of urgency here. Is what Mrs. Guzman,
in order to capture the May date that...
I believe there's a deadline on this particular grant funding to have your applications in. But I believe they want to take a look at it in May. The board, the Water Resources Board wants to take a look at these in May. So there is a time frame that's pretty expeditable.
Very good. Any other questions or comments?
I'd just like to make one comment there. According to our information that we got from the previous item, the Park Lawn sewer project and street reconstruction is $3.7 million, and that's just about what the state stole out of our fund between last year and this year. Just wanted to make that point.
It's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. Also point out that Councilman Gere has been working very diligently on this, along with Supervisor DeMartini. Without me on it. Thank you.
Okay. And I have a motion that would include the previous statement by CEO Robinson on the technical aspects of that grant.
Yeah, I would like to make that motion. I don't think I could repeat what the CEO said, but I liked it. And I would approve the staff recommendations along with that amendment to add other areas, including Park Lawn, but wherever other areas might be relevant, and to try to get that grant.
A motion for the three staff recommendations plus the amendment. Is there a second?
I will second that.
And I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That item passes 4-0. We're now at the public forum of the redevelopment agency. Does anybody wish to address anything that was not on the redevelopment agency agenda this evening? Seeing none, we'll adjourn the redevelopment agency, bring it back to the San Luis County Board of Supervisors meeting, and move to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the State Farm Insurance Companies regarding their intention to permanently close the State Farm Insurance Modesto Operations Center located at 4213 Dale Road, Suite 3 in Modesto, California on July 31st, 2011 per the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act.
Refer to Alliance WorkNet and the San Luis Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from the California Emergency Management Agency regarding the U.S. Small Business Administration declaration of a primary disaster area for Santa Clara County and other counties, and Stanislaus County as a contiguous county for the economic impacts caused by the closure of the 2010 salmon fishery season that occurred on April 10, 2010 through September 30, 2010.
Refer to Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a copy of the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department's audit report for Peace Officer Standards and Training Program from July 1, 2009 through July 31, 2010 from the California State Controller.
Refer to Auditor, Controller, and the Sheriff.
This board has received a letter from the United States Department of Commerce, U.S. Census Bureau, regarding the 2010 Census Count Question Resolution Program.
Refer to Chief Executive Office.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors report? Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last night I attended the Turlock Mosquito Abatement Board meeting. And just for everybody's information, they are expecting a bad mosquito this year because of all the flooding and the around the rivers and the grass even can create some problem for mosquitoes. The rain is good for a lot of reasons. It fills up the reservoirs, generates a lot of power, but also it's going to create a lot of mosquitoes this year, and they are concerned about spread of West Nile virus also. So good and bad with the wet year this year.
Any other Board of Supervisors reports? We'll move to Legislative Fiscal Management Report. Officer.
Yes, I have nothing on the legislative. However, I would like to remind members of the public that tomorrow is the last day to submit an application to serve on the Citizens Redistricting Advisory Task Force.
At this time, this meeting is adjourned.